Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about the need for watchful preparedness on this second Sunday in Advent. But first, let's pray. O God of timeless grace, you fill us with joyful expectation. Make us ready for the message that prepares the way, that with uprightness of heart and holy joy, we may eagerly await the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Our reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 to 11, and I'm reading from the NIV. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Today, our second Sunday in Advent, we think specifically about preparation. Advent is generally observed as a time of reflective preparation in view of the birth of Jesus, as well as his expected return in the second coming. It is therefore a season where we learn how to wait in a state of watchful preparedness. This is part of what it means to be the people of God, for it is what God calls us to. Jesus, in his parable in Luke chapter 18, verse 1-8, which emphasizes the need to always pray, contrasting God's responsiveness to his people with that of the unrighteous judge, says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find his people waiting in a state of watchful preparedness, which is evidenced by faith? We know, even for the arrival of the Christ child, the long-awaited Messiah, while there were signs, there was no certainty about an exact time. Also, with regard to his future return, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. I think, though, that if Jesus knew, he would still not say. Otherwise, in typical human fashion, people would wait until the last minute to get their act together and ensure their lives were in order, as though God would not know that they had procrastinated and put off dealing with important things in their lives. But here we are, just like the Jews before the arrival of Christ, knowing we have some signs, but no specific timetable, needing, therefore, to take seriously the idea of waiting in a state of watchful preparedness. But now let's come to our passage, and as we do, for some of us there are parts that may be familiar. The historical context of this passage is the exile of the Jewish people under the Babylonian Empire. So God speaks words of comfort through Isaiah to his people, that the time of their hard service, meaning their 70-year captivity, is almost over. And to speak tenderly means literally to speak to the heart, a phrase that is used mostly when reassurance or encouragement is being communicated, much like a mother speaking gently to her child. Why would Israel need comforting, apart from their miserable condition of having been displaced from the land that had been given them by God? Well, their misery was made worse because through the prophet Hosea, who also addressed the sinful condition of Israel, God had announced, "You are no longer my people, and I am no longer your God." These words were a death sentence to the nation. But God had also promised through Hosea later in his message that the time would come when God would again say, "You are my people, and I am your God." The moment had arrived with these words of comfort from Isaiah. Israel's sin had been paid for, meaning her sentence had been served. Yet the wording, "she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins," is quite puzzling. To receive double for all her sins does not mean to be punished beyond what she deserves, but in keeping with what she deserves. For the Hebrew word also carries the meaning of equivalent, which fits with our text, that Israel had received a punishment equivalent to her sins. A fitting punishment, for God is not unjust. To be under another nation in captivity was God's method often of dealing with his nation with whom he was in covenant relationship. Other nations became the agents of God's chastisement. And now her captivity was over. What follows is a passage that is more familiar, from verses 3 to 5. "A voice of one calling, 'In the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" Prepare the way for the Lord and for his glory. It is said that true prophets were voices, since they would faithfully declare only those messages which God had given them to communicate, nothing more and nothing less. Therefore, these words were not to be ignored. They were a call by God to the nation of Israel to get back into a right relationship with him. And while it spoke to their situation historically, elements of the prophecy point to a future time. This is why each gospel writer applied Isaiah 40 verse 3 to John the Baptist. You can read about this in Matthew 3 verse 1 to 4, Mark 1 verse 1 to 4, Luke 1 verse 76 to 78, and John 1 verse 23. John was a desert prophet who prepared the way for Jesus and who in the wilderness made a highway for him. However, here in Isaiah, the entire nation was in a spiritual wilderness, and each Israelite needed to get ready spiritually for the appearing of the Lord and his glory. Raising the valleys and lowering the mountains is pretty much how roads have always been built, to optimize the use of materials and to build efficiently. And back then, this was done to smooth out roads so that a dignitary would comfortably travel when visiting a particular area. In a sense, this wording could be likened to the modern idea of rolling out the red carpet so that the Lord could come to the nation and rule. But it is more than that. For Israel, it was to smooth out the rough places of their hearts, to raise the valleys and lower the mountains and hills with regard to their collective spiritual condition. Eventually, the nation would be smoothed out spiritually and in a state of watchful preparedness when the glory of the Lord would be revealed. Again, from the language in verse 5, Isaiah seems to point to a future time when the Lord would come in His glory and all humankind together would see it. Here, this kind of language takes us beyond the birth and ministry of Jesus. For though the disciples saw Jesus' glory, all humankind had not yet seen it. But they will see it at the time of His future return. And while Isaiah may not have understood how this would happen or take place, this coming glory is certain, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord is sure and cannot be broken. We then come to verses 6 to 8 where there is a voice, presumably God's, commanding Isaiah to shout and declare the difference between people and God. People are nothing but grass, their love fragile as wild flowers. They all wither and fade if God so much as blows on them. By contrast, the word of our God stands forever, something the Israelites could hold onto in faith with the news that the time of their captivity was ending. Finally, we have verses 9 to 11, where Isaiah is instructed to take a message to Jerusalem. Zion is another name for that city. They are not two different places. It is a message of good news, declaring, "Here is your God." The news is conveyed first to Jerusalem, who then has to go up to a mountain and announce to the cities of Judah that their God comes as a shepherd, which is a traditional designation for a king, leading the flock with great care into a new era. As we conclude then, let's begin at the end with an affirmation of faith. The word of our God stands forever. Not one word will fall to the ground, which also means we have to know God's word well, not what we have heard secondhand, but what we have heard in reading scripture and knowing it on our own before God, and also together as a congregation with the help of the Holy Spirit, which is about as certain as it can get. Knowing that God's word stands forever provides us with a basis for faith to flourish in a world that is now so perplexed with human greed for wealth, power, and control, manifesting in politics and conflicts, and a world full of needs. But it also calls us to take seriously the need to regularly consider our spiritual health, to smooth out the rough places in our hearts, to raise the valleys and lower the mountains and hills with regard to our spiritual condition, to work at being in a state of watchful preparedness, thinking about the birth of the Lord Jesus, but also about His return in power and in glory, where every eye shall ultimately behold Him. Instead of going along with noisy Christmas celebration, it is perhaps more appropriate for us to reflect quietly on what Christmas means. It means, here is your God. It means, here is your salvation. It means, here is your peace, and the one who will bring peace in the end. And so may God be with us as we continue the journey through Advent to Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. God of hope, you raised up John the Baptizer as a herald who called people to repentance and to conversion. As we joyfully await the glorious coming of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would intervene in the needs of the church and the world. Hear us, O God, and empower us through your Spirit with faith, hope, and love to serve you and give voice to your presence among us until the day of the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. And God bless you.